Hey everyone, welcome back to the Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast. I'm on today with Karen Rohr. She's the Customer Success Lead at Atrium. And today we're going to run through good to great, transforming the QBR process. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So give us a bit about your background. Who are you? Where are you from? What are some of the details on Karen?
Yeah, so I run the customer success team here at Atrium, but my background is primarily in sales operations. So I set up the sales operations function at Double Dutch, event marketing software, and then went over to LinkedIn after the lynda.com acquisition to help with the integration of Lynda into LinkedIn, and then managed sales operations for North America and EMEA for LinkedIn Learning.
Cool. And maybe just briefly, for those that don't know Atrium, you guys are out of stealth now, or are you still in stealth? Maybe just give the listeners a bit of background on Atrium and what's going on at the company today.
Yeah, so Atrium is a sales analytics software company. So as the head of customer success, I now work with sales managers and sales operations folks at our customers to help them understand their sales data and use it to kind of make data-driven decisions in planning and forecasting and sales management and help with the coaching of their reps.
Got it. How large, maybe just additional framing, how large is the company? What it looks like, we're sitting in Karen's office and there are a number of people here in San Francisco. So give us some more.
We are 20 folks now.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So we have recently hired out a few more people on our sales team. So we have a sales team of 4 now and are getting those guys ramped up.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool.
Exciting time.
And then we always sort of end our introduction with this. I know you've thought long and hard about it. What is one thing that no one on this podcast will know about you?
So something no one on the podcast will know about me is I travel a lot, but like adventure travel. So I have gone scuba diving at 2 of the 10 top dive sites in the world and climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
And what are the 2 of the top 10 dive sites?
The Great Blue Hole in Belize. And another one called the Great White Wall in Fiji, off an island called Tavuni.
So you're a serious scuba diver.
Yeah.
Interesting. Where any maybe picks for the next place you want to go for some of the travel-oriented listeners?
So the on my top 10 list is Palau, but actually the next place I'm going to go is Hawaii and go diving off Kauai.
Amazing. Love that. People did not know that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So we are talking today about from good to great, transforming the QBR process. For those listening along, we have a blog post that accompanies this audio. You want to head there and download a great QBR template that Karen has given us and sort of follow along from there. But anyways, maybe just to jump in and start, tell us a bit about what you see going from early stage to later stage maturation and, you know, kind of broad brushstrokes around QBRs and thinking about this.
Sure. So this is something that I think a lot of companies don't do early on, but it can be really helpful. Even if you are still in a place where you only have 1 or 2 sales reps, sitting down to frame what's been happening with them, why has it been happening, and what are we planning to do next quarter is still a really helpful exercise. As the company matures, I see QBRs start to happen once there is a sales operations person in place to help enable those. And that's usually when you have, you know, a VP sales, they have a sales team with some number of AEs on it. And then as companies grow and scale, you have those teams segment out and move into a place where you do a QBR by segment so that you can dive into, with each segment, the issues of what happened, why did it happen, and what are we planning going forward might be different. And so separating out those conversations.
Got it. And we're talking from a frame here about from good to great. And so the assumption is kind of, you may have this, you may not have this, but we'll jump around a bit throughout the podcast. Maybe if a good sort of starting point is the past and, you know, help the listeners think about first principles, what do founders need to think about as it relates to these QBRs, and we can kind of dive into specifics on this.
Yeah, so I think first principles for any meeting is you need to know why you're having that meeting. You need to have a clear definition of this meeting will be successful if these things happen. And with a QBR, I think that those things are, this meeting is successful if you are aligned on what happened, understand why it happened, and have a discussion about what you do going forward. And so I think that's really the purpose of that meeting, is to have what has happened over the previous quarter and quarters to orient you and use kind of the data to understand why those things are happening, so that you can talk about what are the challenges, what are the roadblocks, what are the things that are really your top priorities to tackle going forward, so that you can continue to grow and improve and scale the business.
And it's interesting you bring up, you know, you talk about kind of the what and the why. It wouldn't be the natural place I would go when thinking about QBRs for my revenue organization. Was this a learned thing that you came upon, or, you know, how did you develop that framework? You know?
Yeah. So a lot of it has been for me trial and error, and then learning from other folks who have also been through this about what has been productive and less productive in terms of actually hitting those goals of a QBR, which is why that was kind of my starting point. Because I think a lot of the time people either have QBRs just run through what the numbers were and then not dig into, okay, what are we going to do differently as a result of knowing those things? And that part, the what are we going to do differently, is the part where you really learn and improve. And so I think starting with just kind of, let's make sure we're aligned on what happened, then dig into, okay, what are the drivers, both on the people side, right? Like, what did you see in terms of hiring and attrition? And in terms of digging into the metrics, what are my bookings drivers? Which ones were above where I planned, below where I planned? And then kind of double clicking down into what are the leading indicators, maybe if there was one of those drivers that wasn't where I expected it to be.
Got it. And so I guess if you're a founder and you're not thinking about QBRs in this way, you kind of want to go back and do this stuff. Let's say if your company is an early stage business and you're kind of just getting this organization built out. But if you are, you're, I guess, in a better position. So that covers a bit of the past. Maybe talk to us a little bit about the present. So we have this QBR template, which I've asked everyone to follow along on. Maybe just take a specific quarter and dig into some of the more specific elements. What do you tend to see? What does this look like? You know, how many people are in these meetings? What does it look like from the revenue org? Maybe just walk us through kind of QBRs and going from good to great, making them better.
Sure. So in the meeting, for an organization where you're still one VP sales, maybe a sales ops person, it's usually those folks with the CEO and maybe a couple of other folks in the C-suite. As the company scales, my recommendation is that these are a little bit iterative, right? So the leader of each segment has a QBR with the CRO, and then the CRO has one with the CEO. And so in the template, things are broken out, assuming that there are kind of different segments and things like that, and putting them all in one document. So this would be more of the CRO deck. But the idea here is to understand, where were bookings and attainment the past quarter? And for bookings, understanding the drivers of those bookings on both the new and existing business side, so that you know where you need to dig in and then can dig in on those points. So if you had win rate down from where you expected it, looking at some of the drivers of win rate to say, okay, why was my win rate lower than expected? What are some of the leading indicators I'm going to really focus on in the quarter ahead to get that back up?
And you, with sales math, mm-hmm. how early do you, right? Because if it's a small company, you mm-hmm. can't get super narrow, or in the absence sure. of data, it's hard to get super narrow. What do you coach founders in terms of what's the, you know, right time to start implementing and instituting this stuff as you think about it?
So we actually do track all these metrics here, and have been since it was just Pete Kazanji, our co-founder, doing all the selling, just so we knew what the baseline was before we started hiring AEs. So we had, you know, not a ton of data points, but we had enough data to set some expectations around what we thought was going to happen. So
do it from the beginning, you think?
I think do it from the beginning.
Okay.
I think there's not a downside to knowing what your kind of bookings formula looks like.
Yeah, got it. Just be, I think, with the caution of it's directionally accurate. You don't have years of sales information to kind of inform go forward. So we talked a little bit about sales math in the present. What else? We had mentioned offline a little bit about culture and some of those elements as it relates to the template. Maybe just walk us through good to great on that piece of the QBR.
Sure. So the culture elements in a QBR, I think focusing on rep level attainment and hiring and attrition and any other kind of personnel or morale type comments is really important because, I mean, ultimately, the sum of bookings for a team is the sum of bookings for the individuals on that team. And if you missed because you didn't hit your hiring plan or because you had a lot of rep attrition, those are really important things to dig into and understand why those are happening.
Anything else on culture, or that's mostly what you tend to see?
So the other stuff on culture is usually kind of looking forward any personnel challenges. So, you know, if there are folks who maybe are on a performance plan or about to be put on a performance plan, or if something has been going on the team that's causing a morale hit that you feel like warrants a conversation, right? It's that kind of thing.
Got it. We've talked about sales math, which most founders, that's probably where their head goes in terms of a revenue QBR. Mm-hmm. Cultural elements sprinkled in. Definitely take this from good to great. Any other things? You've got some other stuff in the template, stuff that you know people should be thinking about as they consider.
Yeah, so the other kind of backward-looking things, the sales math breaks out both for the AE side, right? So what was your win rate, how many ops were the AEs working, what was your average deal size, and what was your average sales cycle time? And then on the new business side, obviously, that's going to be much more around churn and your off-cycle expansions or upsells.
Maybe talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah.
That's so, kind of complex.
Sure.
Yeah.
So for your existing business, right, for your account management or customer success organization, you start with some baseline amount of dollars up for renewal. And so you have planned for that amount plus something, presumably.
Sure.
Right. And so the drivers that you're tracking there are of that baseline, what churned, what upsold or downsold at the time of renewal, and what kind of expansions happened where somebody, you know, added seats midway through a contract in order to get to your total customer bookings for that quarter.
Got it. Okay. That's helpful to understand. Anything else on the present or on the existing QBR template you have?
Yeah. The only other thing in this template is looking a little bit at for the new business side of the organization, where those deals came from, and particularly if you have an SDR organization, understanding, again, kind of results and attainment on the SDR side.
Sure. That's a good point. So you and some of this is you've learned this QBR process and system over time. I'm curious, just staying on the present, maybe for kind of the last line of questioning on this, was there anything that when you built this out, you thought, hey, I think I should put this in here, and then maybe the team or a founder or whatever kind of said, you don't need this. Maybe talk to us about the opposite of this, which is you have all these great things in here. What are some of the things that are just a waste of time and you really shouldn't put in these, but you might see people put them in?
So there are, in the template, there are also a lot of slides in backup, which are the things that have the potential to be important, but are usually context rather than this is the answer to one of the big questions that you're asking. And so kind of another sort of first principle for a QBR is that preparation is really important. And so these are decks that ideally go out in advance of the meeting so that people have time to read them, so that if a question came up about, hey, you know, it's great that we have the SDR numbers in here, but how did this break out by, if it's different products that you're selling or different geographies are relevant to your business, different verticals, there'll be a slide to say, hey, it wasn't like any one of these is a big driver for either over attaining or under attaining versus our expectations.
Just small point. What's your best practices? Send it like 72 hours in advance or 48, or what's the... You got to give people time to look it over.
Yeah,
right?
You have to give people time to look it over. I think 48 hours is best practice so that somebody should have time within those 2 days to find 15 minutes to flip through the deck. I also, another thing that I do is for something like this is just asking candidly at the start of the meeting whether everybody has read the materials, and if they haven't, stopping and
taking 5 minutes.
You
just cancel them. Oh,
no, you take 5 minutes
you do
and
the
be
Jeff
like,
Bezos,
let's,
you just read the memo.
Let's stop and read. Yeah,
I got it. I got it. That must be annoying though.
I mean, it is a little bit, but you know, better to have a conversation that is based on people having reviewed the information than like having the meeting and having the meeting be where you explain like what the numbers are.
Right. Yeah.
Isn't a great use of people's time.
Right.
Like
right.
The much better use of people's time is to say, okay, here is why we think all of these things happened. And here is how that informs my priorities for next quarter and the asks that I'm going to make of you, you know, if it's the CRO with the CEO, as the CEO.
Sure, sure. That makes sense. So we've talked about past, we've talked about present. Maybe just help us think about future. Mm-hmm. So where do you see a lot of people get tripped up? What do you kind of think needs to be changed when you're thinking about going from good to great? How do we reset and change some of these things that we've done wrong, let's say? I'm sure a lot of founders come to you, ask questions about this template, all that kind of stuff. So maybe unpack that a little bit for us.
Yeah. So when you're thinking about future, all of the past present stuff is what leads up to your basically one slide on, so as a result, here are my priorities for next quarter. You know, my top three things that I'm going to do. And here are my key asks, right? So that you have, based on everything we just talked about, you have the kind of one slide synthesis of what that means going forward. And a lot of times that will include, here is my forecast for next quarter based on what I know right now, right? And so those priorities and key asks will be, here are the things that will do most to improve that forecast.
Got it. Okay. That's super helpful. Sort of a couple points of clarity before we finish, because we batted this around earlier, and I think it's important to note. Talk to us a bit about who actually works on this QBR template, delivers this QBR template. You know, sales operations, you obviously know extremely well. Is it that group? What's the best way to approach this? And maybe how does it morph over time in a company's evolution?
Yeah. So if you have a sales operations person in place, it can be really helpful to have them do the first draft, which is basically filling in all of the analytical pieces, right? Filling in all of the numbers, key drivers, everything like that. And then having them pass that to the sales leader to fill in all of the context, right? All of the commentary around, okay, here's this driver, here are the things that seem to have been contributing to this number being, you know, much higher than we expected if we overattained, and here's my commentary on why I think that was. The sales leader will obviously also have the most insight into the people side, right? So those slides are kind of for them. So I think it's a really collaborative process between sales ops and sales leadership. But I think it's helpful for sales ops to own the first draft so that all of kind of the numbers and drivers are in there.
And if I'm a early stage founder, I would probably do this. It's
sure.
Not, there's no sales ops function,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
There's no sales ops.
And who can you bring in other parts of the organization? Is that helpful? Do I want product coming into these things or marketing or whatever, or is that just not a good move?
I think when it's kind of the CRO with the CEO, having the other kind of C-level leadership that's impacted can be really helpful so that they have visibility into what's going on and why it's happening. When you're talking about like a segment with the head of sales, that should be more sales and sales ops, I think.
Got it. Okay. Super helpful. Last kind of question I tend to ask about these topics, because they can get very deep and very heavy. You know, you're a coach in this ecosystem. You spend a lot of time with these founders. Where do you see this get messed up the most? And what are some of the problems that you tend to see come up? Let's call it sort of average QBR processes and how you really make them become great.
Yeah. So the number one problem that I see is people not doing this.
Really? Just straight up?
Well, especially some of the earlier stage companies that we work with who maybe don't have a sales ops function yet, and this kind of falls off the priority list. The second thing that I see is not giving time to prepare such that the QBR turns into information sharing rather than discussion and talking about what that means going forward.
Yeah, that seems to be
the most
great,
common for folks that are having QBRs. That's the most common way that I see them kind of, I mean, still be useful, but not be as valuable as they could be.
Got it. Does that, is there, what's the reason behind that you tend to see? Is it just there, it's an early stage business and they don't sort of grasp the seriousness of it, or what? I mean,
I think it's more in a lot of early stage companies, people wear so many hats and have so many things on their plate and are doing so many things that sticking to the structure of we are going to finish this deck 2 days in advance and send it out so that we can read it, so that we can come in and have a discussion is really hard to adhere to when there are a lot of other really important and urgent priorities on your plate. So I think that's the bigger driver for most people, is it's just, yeah, I know that it's important, but all of these other things are important also.
Right. Okay. So we've talked about past, present, and future, how to, you know, with the banner of going from good to great. If you were to bottle this conversation up, any final thoughts, tips, tricks, you know, things that you want to impart, big pieces of wisdom to founders, anything like that?
I think the summary is really the thing that I've kind of been hammering on this whole time, which is know why you're having this meeting, what success for this meeting looks like. And here I think it's understanding why what happened the past quarter happened, so that it can inform how you're going to lead the organization in the quarter and quarters ahead.
Got it. We have the QBR template on our blog post. I will say again, download it. If you need help on it, Karen is available. I'll leave you to look her up online and reach out. And that's it. Thank you, Karen, for coming out to the show. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Mike.